Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So, the parsha has to do with Metzora, which deals with something called leprosy. But there's two different types of leprosy. There's spiritual leprosy, which it's clear from the Torah that it was a spiritual type of thing, was not a medical type of thing. Because in fact, the only one that could declare somebody a leper would be a Kohen. And if the Kohen hadn't yet seen the person, he wouldn't be declared impure. And there's some interesting rules, like once it's spread all over the person's entire body, then the person will be declared pure. And if it was real leprosy, that would not fit the bill at all. Rabbi Shimshon Foyle Hirsch has 10 different ways that he proves that it's not the physical leprosy. We have a tradition that people got spiritual leprosy as a punishment for sins. If they did something wrong, they were stricken. And if you look throughout Tanakh, that's typically what happened, that a person that did something really bad, he would break out in leprosy. And then there's the age-old physical leprosy, it was a sickness that was very, what's it called when it's easy to catch, very...
Communicable.
Yeah, very dangerous. And so sometimes it's difficult to know which of the two Scripture is talking about. Mm-hmm. Is it talking about the spiritual one? So our understanding was that at some point it stopped having the spiritual leprosy. You have to be on a certain level of holiness that Hashem would send you. You know, if we would get leprosy every time we spoke Lashon Hara, so you can imagine what it would look like. You know, the community would be in really bad shape. So our understanding is that's one of the miracles that became stopped happening, or it didn't happen in the same way. Be that as it may, neither one is a sign, a good sign, and it's a sign that Hashem was upset with people. One of the famous lepers that is out there was the disciple of Elisha, the prophet, and the one who got leprosy was the person who was his assistant, Gehazi. And what happened was the non-Jewish general had a Jewish servant lady and the non-Jewish general had gotten leprosy and tried different remedies to cure it and was not successful. And the Jewish servant lady said, well, we have a great leader, a great spiritual person, and if he blesses you, you can get rid of the leprosy. And so he went to Elisha and he got healed from the leprosy. And he went to Elisha and said, I'd like to pay you for your services. I'd like you to get, you know, that's the way in the outside world, if you, you know, you had some religion or you gave them money. And so Elisha refused to take the money. Now, Gehazi worked for Elisha and he thought differently. He said, you refused a donation? You know, he didn't want to refuse donations. So he went after him and what happens is that one sin leads to another. First he took the donation, and then he said, but Elisha said that we don't take donations. And he said, well, and that he lied. And when Elisha saw him, he felt that it was a terrible thing, because the Gentiles were very impressed with the miracle. They were impressed with Hashem, the concept of Hashem, the nation of Hashem. And when you charge money for something, you turn it into a service, and you take away from the miracle. And he felt that this fellow Gehazi and he had three sons who were his partners in this, were too interested in money. And therefore they were stricken with leprosy. So, and it's very interesting because there are people that suffer from that, you know, that are, everything is money, you know, to them. And to some extent, this is going to play into that, what we're going to hear about. So let's begin here. On page 1172, Barba Nashim Haimitzarim, there were four people who were lepers, Mitzarim, Pesach Hashar. And they weren't allowed in the city either because it was highly contagious. And by the way, there's a concept that if it's spiritual leprosy, sin is also highly contagious. In other words, people that that do very negative things, if people hang around them, that's also very dangerous. Just like if you hang around somebody with a contagious disease, if you hang around people that do really bad things, it's contagious. It affects people. It says in Pirkei Avos, woe is to the wicked person and woe is to his neighbor. Because if you have such a person as a neighbor, it rubs off. It works the other way too. If you have a very good person next door, a righteous person, so it also rubs off. Like a person should try to be, move next to, be around very holy people, very good people, and then a little bit might rub off. It's a good, that's a goal of ours. So these Mitzorim, they were left outside the city. So they said the following. The city was besieged, and it was during a famine. And the famine came because the people were sinning. They were worshiping idols, and they had done the wrong things. And in ancient times, when Hashem withheld the rain, that was the sign that people should do teshuva. So the lepers were outside the city, and the city wasn't able to provide food for them because they were barely able to provide food for themselves. So they said to themselves, why should we stay here and die? We have to do something to get food. So they said the following. If we stay here and the famine continues, they'll definitely die there. You know what? They decided they would go into the enemy that was encamped outside the city, and maybe they would give them food. Let's go to the camp of Aram. And now they were the enemies of the Jewish people, and they were besieging the city. They might just kill them. But on the other hand, maybe they'll take pity. If they let us live, great. And if they kill us, they'll kill us. But either way, if we stay here, we're going to die. Sometimes people need to, they have to realize that by not deciding anything, they are deciding something. In other words, by not deciding to go and seek help, they're basically saying they're going to sit here and die. And so they came out, they realized that they had nothing to lose. Verse 5, Yikuma ben Eshef. So they got up in the evening, Lavol Machaneh Aram, to go into the armed camp that surrounded the city. And they were in for a big surprise. V'yavu ad kitzei machaneh. They come into this camp, which was until then was large. And soldiers in ancient times, there was wood chopping and there was fires going on and there were all kinds of noise. Even then they had bands where they played music and they had all kinds of noises when an army was a noisy thing. So they went into this camp to look for these soldiers. V'hine ein sham ish. And it was totally deserted. And it was just there. The whole army was, tens of thousands of people were there. And now, all of a sudden, empty. Verse 6. Hashem, now what was going on over here was, Vahashem hishmiya es machaneh Aram. Hashem had made a miracle here. And that the army that was there heard in the night, they thought they heard noises. It's interesting. My wife has been out of town for two, 3 days, and the house is empty. And it's interesting, when you're in an empty house, you hear noises. I can't explain it. It's like, when people are in the house, I never hear noises, because you just assume the noises come from people. I have kids at home, but the last 3 nights, the house has been totally empty, so every time, the ice bucket, the ice goes into the thing, and then I'm thinking, is somebody there? Did something fall? It's raining? And it's just, you hear noises. So, the soldiers were there, and they start hearing noises. And they thought they heard animal noises, which would be normal outside. This was a desert, like a korech. And then they start hearing, they think they're hearing chariots. So in those days, they didn't have good intelligence about what they were facing. And they knew that the Jews the 10 tribes, did not have a large army. But they did have a lot of wealth. And in those days, if you could pay another army to come and relieve you, then you would get an army to come and attack, you know, the force that was trying to stop the city, and they would do battle. So they had heard rumors that the Jews, who were, you know, Jews are always wealthy, had hired some mercenaries from one of the other countries to come and break the siege. So the soldiers, who always were worried, they heard these rumors. And then they started hearing these noises. They started hearing the kol recha, the kol sus, the kol chai. They start hearing, do you hear that? What? I don't hear that. I hear a chariot. I hear a horse. And before you know it, v'yomer ish el achiv, each man said to his brother, hinei sach aleinu melech Yisrael malcha achitim. You know what? The Jews have probably hired armies to come and relieve them. Ves malcha mitzrayim, and they probably hired the Egyptians. Lo aleinu, come on us. So they started spreading these rumors, and they started hearing these noises, and some of the soldiers decided, you know what, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to hang around and wait for this, the Yakuba, and they got up, the Yanusu. And it's one of the interesting things of war, and the Torah actually mentions this, is that if the enemy panics, if an army panics, then you got them. And that's really the goal in warfare, is to get them to panic. When they train an army, the big thing they train them is to run away in an organized fashion. Because if they, like, panic and they run away, it's a disaster. Everything falls apart. That's the, if you remember from the Six-Day War, was that the Mitla Pass? Have you ever seen that? What happened was the Egyptians panicked and they were all running away, and there was one road, and then the truck, you know, broke down in the middle, and then everybody starts, all the trucks are trying to get out, and they're all running into the, you know, and it was like, you know, miles and miles of abandoned trucks, and the people were throwing down their weapons and running into the desert. It was just like a total panic. And that's the way wars went. Even in the Civil War, they had battles like that, where once they panicked, then the soldiers just tossed off their weapons and start running. And what happens is, once one group panics, then the next group panics, and then before you know it, it's like a. In fact, in ancient times, they sometimes had people in the back who would threaten the soldiers not to run away. That would be there, like, to keep them from, you know, trying to run away. But these soldiers, they heard these, and all of a sudden they panicked and they dropped all their goods, Venus, and they ran for their lives. So the entire camp, before you knew it, had packed out. Verse 8, and these lepers went from one end of the camp, and they walked into one of these tents, and they found food there. They hadn't eaten for a while. Then they ate and they drank. And not only that, so what we're going to see is that stingy people didn't learn their lesson. Why were they still stricken with leprosy? I mean, they assumed that was a very severe punishment, but we see that they still have this stinginess. You know, people in the city were starving. And what are they thinking? Let's hide the gold and silver. So, you know, they were eating and drinking, and they took silver and gold, ubegadim and clothing, and they hid it away. This must have taken hours. And then they decided to, all right, they did pretty good in the first tent. Then they went to the second tent. Usually the officers had tents where they had, you know, lots of yisum isham, and then they took stuff from there. But Yelchan, they hid that away. Verse 9. Now they said, you know what? We might be making a mistake. We might get in trouble if we don't tell the authorities. Because this is a big announcement that the enemy has run away. And if we hide it, so it's interesting. It's not that they want to help the people and, oh boy, we have such good news and we want to share it, and then the people won't have to starve anymore and everything will be good. But instead, they're thinking, we don't want to get in trouble. You know, we'll get in trouble if we don't tell them. They're still selfish, unfortunately. And we view that as a plague. You know, that's a disease. People that only think of themselves, it's a sickness. You know, that's not what life is about. When you only think about yourself, but that's what they said. So, l'chuv v'navo, and you know what? We better tell the king what we found. So verse 10, Vayavo v'yikrel shara'ir, they went to the gate, v'yigidu lem lemor, banu el machaneh Aram, they said, guess what? We went to the city, the camp of Aram, v'nei ein sham ish, nobody's there. V'kol adam, and you can't even hear the voice of a person. Ki imasu sasser, and they have animals. They left their horses and their donkeys. V'olim kasher hema, and everything is like standing, just like they're there. Verse 11, v'iku asharim v'igidu beis hamelach. So the people in charge of the gate, they came and they brought the report to the king, penima, to the inner people. Verse 12, Ayaka Melech Laila, the king woke up at night. This was big news. You know, you wake up, kings don't usually wake up in the middle of the night. The king woke up in the night. Yomra Vadav, Hagidu Nolachem Esesher Asu. So they had a cabinet meeting. And he said, what should we do? Yaduki, you know, their first thing is to be skeptical. This was strange. Why would they leave? He says, the Aramim, they know Ki Revim Anachnu. They know that we're hungry. The Yotzim in Amachana, and they know that if we hear that maybe they just left their camp and they're hiding in the field. Ki yotzim in the ear, and as soon as we come out of the city to take the food from the camp, v'tesem chayim, they'll catch us alive and then they'll come into the city. So maybe this is a trap. Verse 13, v'yan echem avada v'yomer. So one of the servants said, you know, why don't we check this out? V'yichu nel chamishim and esusim. Let's get about 5 horses, ha'nisharim. Now, here he makes a comment that gives us an idea. He said the leftover horses. The famine was so bad, they were starting to eat their horses. That's, people don't normally eat horses, but when things get really, when there's no food, that's what they end up doing. And the horses also take a lot, you need to eat food. And when you're in a walled city, that no food comes in and no water and no, the resources are very limited. So they said, you know what, let's take some of our last few horses, Ahinam Kakol Hamon Yisrael. And these horses, they're just like the Jewish people, Asher Nishanubam. I think what they were trying to say is that really things are not very good. The people are dying from starvation. And if we don't, it's true that this is a risky type of thing, but when people are hungry, they have to take risks. Kakol Hamon Yisrael, Asher Tamu V'Nishal Chavanir, let's go out and let's see. The interesting thing was, by the way, the prophet in the previous chapter, it's not over here, had told them that Hashem had heard their prayers and that the famine would end. But they didn't want to believe that. You know, it's sometimes people will believe anything but the truth. That's the, so, but this guy, you know what, maybe we should check it out. Maybe it's worth it. Now, it's interesting. First they said take 5 and they only end up taking 2. Not sure of the significance. Is this like a compromise? Well, I don't want to risk 5 soldiers. Let's risk 2. Maybe it just shows you how skeptical he was. There's an idea that when Hashem wants, he can change a person's situation in the twinkle of an eye, right? Keherifayin, just like a person blinks. And over here, the previous night, they were surrounded by an enemy that was more powerful than them. There was starvation in the city. People were dying. And they had no hope. They had no hope to be saved. And now the prophet said, well, Hashem's going to rescue you and the food, you'll have plenty of food. And they didn't want to believe it. But one of our beliefs is that salvation happens quickly. Some people say that's the message of matzah, by the way, that they left in such a hurry, the bread didn't have a chance to rise. That when the time comes, Hashem can save a person. It just takes a minute. It can happen very quickly. Fortune changes very quickly. It just if you look at like the Purim story or other types of things, in Hebrew, we have an expression, Yeshuas Hashem Keherifayin. The salvation of Hashem is like the blink of an eye. It just takes a second. So, they didn't want to believe. Could something have changed? So they sent 2 soldiers and they said, go and check it out. Verse 15, so they followed the scent, so to speak. You can see when an army marches, it's easy to follow because there's a certain amount of dust that they make, and there's a certain amount of waste and a certain amount of movement. You know, if you have an army of tens of thousands of people and you have scouts, they can follow it. So they followed it, and they noticed the following. Hinei kol ha'derech malei begadim. There were like discarded items along the path, the kalim. When people are traveling in a hurry, and things get very heavy. You know, soldiers carry very heavy stuff. You know, they carry the weapons. And then if they get more and more afraid, they decide, oh, I can't carry this anymore, and they just toss it aside. So they noticed that the whole way was full of things that were tossed aside. Asher shlichu arma b'chipazim. This is that same word, the in a hurry, b'chipazim. V'yishuv ha-melachim. So the messenger came back, v'yagidu l'melach. They told the king the good news that the enemy had gone all the way, they crossed the river, basically. So the news got out, v'yetzeam. The people who were starving and had been afraid and had no food, they couldn't wait. The yetzeam, the people went out. Ve'yavuzes machane aram, and that was it. They devoured that camp. They took every tent, every food. Ve'hi, and the wording that the prophet had said was that the people came to the prophet and said that food is very scarce. It can't be bought for any money. And so he had said, oh, no problem. Well, he didn't say it like it, but he said, saw solus b'shekel, that the Lord says that he's heard your prayers and he's going to save you. And tomorrow you'll be able to buy bread for pennies. That's saw solus. You'll be able to buy a measure, like a pound of flour, for a shekel. You know, what's a shekel? A shekel's a few dollars. Who says, I'm sorry, b'shekel, and you could buy two measures of barley also for that amount. Kedvar Hashem. Now, what had happened then, again, part of the challenge is this is in the middle of a chapter. It doesn't give you the whole... we started with the lepers because that's relating to the Parsha about the idea that when people act in a certain way, Hashem would want to give them a spiritual leprosy to teach them a lesson. And that is... again, it's very interesting what a leper does. A leper has to live by himself. He shouldn't live with others. In other words, because he's a selfish person, but you know, somebody doesn't think of others, so he has to go live totally by himself outside the camp. And the lepers typically didn't have jobs, because if you were a leper, so they relied on other people to help them. So here you had a person that was stingy and was selfish, and he got leprosy, and here other people, kind people, are throwing them food. So, like, he learns all kinds of things about himself, being alone, and the kind of people that he talks to are the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the priests, the ones that are close to Hashem. They would come and meet with the lepers, and they would diagnose them and help them. And so all of that was part of what was needed. So the question, though, is why didn't the king have faith that this miracle would happen? Why was he so suspicious? Even when they told him this, he didn't say, oh, what the prophet said came true. Instead, he says, oh, that's probably a trap, and let's send out, they wanted to send 5 soldiers. He said, we better only send 2. Why was he so suspicious that it wasn't going to happen? So one of the king's advisors was a skeptic, a scoffer. And the skeptic said, don't pay any attention to the prophet of God. He said, it's impossible for the food to get that cheap tomorrow. He said, even the Almighty couldn't end the famine, is what he said. So what's going to happen here is that this skeptic, this officer, is going to be punished. There's an idea that many times in life there are people that would do the right things, and somebody around them dissuades them. And over here, this was a Jewish king, and he might have done the right thing, but he might have believed the prophet, and he might have said, wow, you know, let's have Thanksgiving prayers, Hashem's going to answer us, or he might have had more faith. But he had someone around him that made fun of religion, who said, the prophet's just making up a story, it could never happen. So what's going to happen is that this officer is going to try to stop all those people from leaving and going out going into the camp. Because the king probably wants all the wealth for himself or for the government, or wants it to be in an orderly fashion. If you have people that are starving, and all of a sudden they find out that there's all this free food outside, I hate the analogy, but have you ever tried to stop people who are running to the Kiddush, you know, when they get in the, you know, Shabbos day? There's some people that have that job, or they, you know, they get in front of the, you know, during a long davening when they open those doors and the kids are running to get the food, and, you know, certain people try to get in the way of those people and say, no, wait, wait for kids, you know, it's not a good place to be. It's very hard to stop the people that are there at that time. So the king gave him the job to try to hold the starving people back. This skeptic. And what happened is he gets trampled. So let's see here. Melech hifkedes ha-shlish. And the king appointed this officer, Asher Nishan al Yado, that he was leaning on. Al Shar v'yemuso am. And he got stepped on V'yamus, and he died, and this was actually predicted, kasher dibur ish Elokim, asher dibur mered asam Elokeilav. This is what he predicted. So again, it's really interesting is that there are certain people that prevent others from doing good things, certain types of skeptics. And it's just, it's also a plague. Sometimes you have, if somebody wants to do a good thing and people say, oh, it'll never work, or what's the use, or they don't deserve it. And just a comment. And the comment is really what keeps people from doing things. A certain kind of skeptic, a certain kind of, and so we have here first the lepers that are selfish and only thinking of themselves. And then we have the skeptic. Those are the kind of people that have this spiritual contamination. A person has to train himself not to be selfish and not to be a skeptic and not to scoff at things and not to be, it's just a certain kind of attitude. Verse 18, V'hikah dvar ish Elokim, and everything came came true like the words of the prophet, Elamelech to the king, Lamor, Sesayim, Sarim, B'shekel. And sure enough, food was cheap that day because all this food became available. Sosos, B'shekel, Yiyah, Ke'es, Mocher, B'shar, Shomron. And they thought that this was impossible, and all of a sudden they found this huge food supply. V'yana shlis, Sesis, Elokim, V'yomer. And at that time, this officer, it's interesting, the Hebrew word calls him the shlish. The shlish means the third. So some people say he was like the third man in government, like he was third after the king. If the king dies and sometimes the third man was considered like the officer that supported the king, like would be on the king's right side or the left side. He was called a shlish. That's that were the Hebrew word, like the third man. In English, they don't translate it because he was an important officer. And he said, Hine Hashem Oseh Arubus Bashamayim. He said, even if God were to make windows in the heaven, he said, like, where are you going to get this delivery of all this food? Is it possible? So the prophet had said, V'yomer, Hine Roa, behold, you will see that it is possible, Umisham, but you won't get to eat from it. Vahilo Canaan, and that's exactly what happened. Musa Oso Am Bishar Vyamus, and the people trampled on him and he died. So what's unusual here is that Haftorahs are never supposed to end on a sad note. If you'll notice that, that's a common theme that we almost, even if the Haftorah ends on a sad note, they add extra verses from somewhere else to end on a high. Because that's the way Jewish people, we never end on sad notes. That's not the way to do things. So strangely enough, over here it ends on a sad note. Like this guy gets trampled. Like, and it's supposed to say, and they all lived happily ever after, right? The famine ended, but then the note here is that the guy gets trampled and he died. So why is that here? So some people would say that there are people like him who were preventing the other people from believing or from having faith. There are certain people that are skeptics that anytime you want to make progress, there are people who just won't let you. They'll say, oh, it'll never work, or, oh, you shouldn't do that. And one of the things, I had my teacher, he used to say, whenever you do good things, you have to expect that there'll be some opposition. And that's the nature of life, is that Hashem made it that doing good things is not necessarily going to be easy, because if it were easy, then there'd be no free will, and it wouldn't make doing good things special. And it was, at the time, I don't think we appreciated it, but sometimes you go out to do something good, and you can't imagine having any difficulties or having anybody that would oppose it or give you any trouble for doing so. Who was it who said, no good deed goes unpunished? There's somebody has expression like that. It was like sometimes you go to do a good thing and you just, for whatever reason, there's someone has a problem with it, right? Oh, you can't do that. Or it's not a good, and you're sitting here thinking to yourself, you know, I'm just trying to help someone, trying to do something good. And why does this have to, and it actually should tell you the opposite. That it is good because the nature of doing good things are that they're good because things take effort. And there's going to be someone who's going to say, ah, don't do it. It'll never work. It won't happen. And try to dissuade you from doing it so that when you actually do it, that'll be very special. And like I said, almost any if you research things or you look back, almost any important good thing had naysayers at the beginning, or people who said why you shouldn't do it, or challenges that they faced involved in doing a good thing. So therefore, really, the fact that this guy gets trampled. It was a tragedy for him, but it wasn't a tragedy for the other people around him. Because the other people around him could have done good and would have done good and would have believed in the prophet. But this one person was always saying, don't pay attention to the prophet. It's impossible. What he says is all, and so if you have people like that around, then nobody will listen to the words of Hashem. And so therefore, maybe it's not so bad that he got the punishment that he deserved. That would be one way of understanding why that happened. But that's the message. That's the message is, again, that the people that are very selfish or that can't think of others, that Hashem in the ancient times would afflict them with a plague, or they should understand that being selfish is a plague. It's a plague when a person can't see other people. That they're just looking at themselves and they're so focused on themselves that they don't see others around them. And the others around them see it. Why can't this person help them? Why don't they notice? And the answer is they've got a sickness and they need to be cured and it can be cured. And we daven to Hashem to help us be purified from, whether it's selfishness or not caring or different things. So that's part of the message of the Tazria Mitzorah.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.